In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our sermon text is our gospel reading from Luke, the 4th chapter. Brothers and sisters in Christ, after Jesus is baptized in the Jordan River, he emerges from the water and is led by the Spirit into the wilderness for the same period of time that we are in the church season called Lent. 40 days. 40 days in the wilderness. 40 days with no food. 40 days with Satan coming and continually tempting Jesus, just as he continually tempts you and me. 3 temptations are recorded for us in Luke's gospel. Look at the first temptation in verse 3. If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread. Now that doesn't sound too bad. What's the real temptation here? Well, it is for Jesus to use his power for his own good, to do a miracle for his own advantage, to make food more important than God, and ultimately, to trust himself and provide for his needs rather than trusting that the Father will provide for him and the Father will sustain him. You can almost hear Satan's voice, can't you? Wanting Jesus to doubt the goodness of God. If God loves you so much, if you are his beloved son, why are you so hungry with nothing to eat for 40 days? If God is almighty and can give you all the food you want in the world, why is he keeping it from you? Forget about your father. Just command these stones to become bread. How often do we find ourselves thinking these devilish thoughts? If God loves me, why did I lose my job, my house, my car? Why am I struggling to pay bills? Why do I have this illness? Why now? Why me? Why did my relationship with my spouse, my child, my parent, my sibling, and my friend end? Why did my loved one suffer? Why did my loved one have to die? Why? 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 We give in to this devilish temptation. We doubt that God and his love for us is real. We turn away from him. We sin. We break the first commandment. But Jesus does not. Jesus answers, "Man does not live by bread alone." What about the second temptation? The devil shows Jesus all the kingdoms of the world in an instant. Wow! The word here that is used in the Greek is the inhabitants of the world, the people of the world. Jesus sees the people of the world that he came to save. And the devil says to him, "You can have these people, the people you love. You can save them. You can rescue them. And you don't have to go to the cross. You don't have to do what the Father sent you here to do. You don't have to suffer. You don't have to bleed. You don't have to die. Just simply bow down. Right now, right here. Worship me. And all this will be yours. You don't have to listen to your Heavenly Father. Listen to me. My way is easier. My way is better. And in the end, the result is the same." That's what Satan says. Sound familiar? You don't have to love your enemies or even your neighbor. If someone hurts you, get back at them. With your words, with your actions, give him what's coming to him. Give him their comeuppance. Go on. Marriage doesn't have to be between one man and one woman. Sexuality is a gift from God, isn't it? So go on, enjoy the gift. Sleep with whomever you want. It doesn't matter. It doesn't even matter if you're already married or if you're not married. It doesn't matter if it's with one person or 100 people. It doesn't matter whether it's another man or a woman. Just go on. Enjoy the gift. It doesn't matter whether you go to church or whether you believe in God. Believe or don't believe. Christianity, Hinduism, Buddhism, Islam, you know, they all worship the same God anyway. You don't have to believe in Jesus. You can live however you want to live. It doesn't matter. You know, everyone goes to heaven in the end anyway. Everyone's always in a better place. You know what people say the moment anyone and everyone dies. Time and time and time again, the devil tempts us with these words. And time and time and time again, we listen to him rather than God. We sin. But Jesus doesn't listen to Satan. Jesus answers saying, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." And what of the third temptation? Jump off the temple. The devil sneakily comes to Jesus, and with all his power and all his might and all his force, he even quotes the word of God, Psalm 91, saying, "Throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. Then he will lift you up in their hands so that you do not strike your foot against a stone." But the devil leaves out the words, "He will guard you in all your ways." God's promise is that he will guard you in the normal ways that you take in life. Not doing foolish things that test him. See, there's another problem here with the devil's quotation, with the devil's use of Psalm 91, the devil's use of the Bible. He uses the wrong passage from Scripture at the wrong time. When standing on a cliff, the right passage is not about the angel's protection. The right passage is, "Do not put the Lord your God to the test." Just quoting one Bible verse doesn't make it automatically right. If you were to ask me, is it okay to kill someone? Would I answer, "God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son." That is, it's okay. God loves you. That's crazy. "God so loved the world" is not the answer to the question. "You shall not murder" is the answer to the question. If God so loved the world doesn't condone the sin of murder, then why would anyone use God's love to condone and justify sin that they want to commit and that they're thinking about? It's okay. God loves me anyway, so I might as well just go on and do whatever I want to do. Ridiculous, right? But that is how we approach sin. That is what we do to sin. We treat it lightly, thinking in the end that it doesn't matter what I do because God's just going to forgive me anyway, so I might as well go on and do what I want to do and live my life however I want to live it. But Jesus didn't. The devil came to Jesus and he tempted Jesus in every way that you and I are tempted. Yet unlike us, Jesus never sinned. He didn't trade God's word for bread. He didn't worship the devil, and he did not condone sin. Jesus died for sin. Jesus resisted temptation for you and for me because he knew how weak and powerless we are, how selfish, self-centered, and how sin-filled and ridden we are. And so, out of love for you, Jesus resisted temptation for you. He lived on God's word alone in your place. Jesus took your place as a substitute. And when the devil showed Jesus all the kingdoms of the world, all the people in the world, Jesus saw your face. And Jesus said, "I have to be perfect for you. Otherwise, you have no chance. I have to live in your place. You need me. I have to take your punishment for sin. I have to suffer for you. I have to bleed for you. I have to hang on the cross for you in love. I have to die for you. It is the only way that he, it is the only way that she will go to heaven and be in my presence forever. You need my perfect sacrifice, and now the Father has given me for you, for the life of the world. Here, Holy Father, Jesus says, take my sacrifice in their place. Take my life instead of theirs. God made him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for you, so that in this Jesus you would become the righteousness of God. He prayed for you, Father, forgive them. And he cried out in victory, it is finished. And how do we know that God accepted Jesus' sacrifice? How do we know that Jesus perfectly worshipped the Father, even unto death, death on the cross? It is because he rose again from the grave that Easter morning. And because of Jesus' sacrifice, God now says to you, I forgive you all your sin in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Because of Jesus, you are perfect. You are holy. You are without sin, without spot, without stain, without wrinkle. Not because you are by nature that way. No, but because you are forgiven in Jesus Christ. You are clothed with the robe of his righteousness that covers all your sins in the waters of baptism. You are marked with the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, here in time and there again in eternity. All because Jesus was high and lifted up for you. And seeing your face in death now means that you will see his face for all eternity. You have eternal life. Because Jesus has done it all, and he has done it all for you. This is far and away the most important thing we see in today's text. Jesus, the perfect substitute. He took our place. He defeated the devil once and for all on the cross. The devil is a loser. The devil is a liar. And he cannot offer the world all he wants to, but he cannot and will not deliver. His pleasures are only temporary, you see. But Jesus gives eternal life. And he gives lasting pleasure. That is far and away the most important thing of the text. But we would be foolish also if we didn't notice Jesus here as an example as well. Jesus shows us how to deal with the devil's temptations. When Jesus was tempted, he quoted scripture. He stood on God's word, his own word alone, every time, every temptation. Jesus always went running back to what Holy Scripture says. Jesus literally in the text says this, it stands written. In other words, these words were written in the past, yes, but they still stand written today. They are still the ultimate truth that governs everyone in all times and in all places. They are the ultimate authority. And even Satan himself must yield to Christ and his holy word. Therefore, the Apostle Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 6, put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggles are not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against authorities, against powers of this dark world, and against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day comes, the day of evil, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Therefore, we hear, we study, we learn God's holy word, because we know that it is the only thing that silences the voice of Satan and stops his lies. When he comes to you saying, it's okay, you don't have to believe in this Jesus to go to heaven, or you can live however you want to live. We can stand firm, and by the Holy Spirit working through that power of that Word of God, we can fight against the devil. Fight against temptation, fight against sin, saying, no, no, that is not what God's word says. That is not what God wants. That is not who I am in Jesus Christ, my Lord. I refuse. I refuse to believe your lies. I refuse to fall into your trap. I refuse to commit that sin. It stands written. Get behind me, Satan, for you do not have the things of God in mind, but the things of man. And when we fall into sin, when we fail miserably, when we fall into temptation, when we sin, and the devil comes to us and says, how could you? God's never going to love you. Not after what you are. Not after what you did. You deserve death and hell. In those times, we know that God's word is our only sure anchor and hope. Brothers and sisters in Christ, do not be deceived by Satan, the father of lies. For God has shown his love for you in this, that while you are still a sinner, Christ died for you. Greater love has none than this, that he should lay down his life for his friends. You are his friends. In those moments, when Satan attacks you and you feel outside of God's love and salvation, make the sign of the cross and remember Jesus' words. Father, forgive them. And get behind me, Satan. Speak the words of Martin Luther to that old evil foe, saying, yes, I admit I deserve death and hell. But what of it? I know one who has suffered and made satisfaction on my behalf. His name is Jesus Christ, Son of God, and where he is, there I shall be also. Say that and stand firm. Stand firm in Christ, because that is his word to you. Stand firm in Christ and sing the words of our famous hymn. Though devils all the world should fill, all eager to devour us, we tremble not, we fear no ill. They shall not overpower us. This world's prince may still scowl fierce as he will. He can harm us none. He's judged, the deed is done. One little word can fell him. Say that, and let that be your final word. For that is God's final word about you. In Jesus Christ our Lord, amen.